This is second working session board on September 7th, 2021 at 1:30 p.m.
Before we go into any closed session items, we're going to turn the time over to Joel, who's here to talk to us about the court case.
Thank you very much. I have 9 of these handouts. I'm thinking I'll take about 5 minutes and then take any questions. But I think the most important thing is the why. Underage vaping is something that's really exploded and taken off here in the last 5 to 10 years. And the folks behind it knew exactly what they were doing. Nicotine is not something new. Vaping is something new. Nicotine's as old as the hills, and they know exactly what to do with it. If you are a child and you use nicotine before the age of 25, your brain is rewired. You will permanently be addicted to nicotine. And they know that. You can still beat it, and there are many brave people that do. But frequently what happens is you become a customer to life to big tobacco and spend about $1,000 to $2,000 a year and damage your health and even damage your mental clarity. So they knew what they were doing. They're advertising in places like Nickelodeon. They're using younger models. Basically, Juul came along and made vaping something like the Tesla or the Apple. They made it very convenient. As you appreciate, it used to be very hard to smoke. You need to go outside. You need to find kind of an isolated place, yada, yada. Not vaping. If you go to YouTube and you search for vaping in classroom, you'll see a number of very clever videos where kids can go and then they blow it out down here, down their other sleeve. There are even custom sweatshirts designed for you to vape with now that you can buy on the internet. Hopefully no kids are hearing this. But anyway, it's changed very quickly. Juul knew what they were doing. They were the fastest company to a $10 billion valuation in the history of the United States. In 2018, they thought they were worth about $15 billion from their venture capitalists and their investors. Philip Morris came along at that point and offered them $12 billion for a third of their company, effectively almost doubling their value right there. And up to that point, I want to give Juul a little bit of credit. They still kind of view themselves as a smoking cessation device, as a device that people would use to transition away from smoking cigarettes. Once they sold to Philip Morris, that was no longer the goal. The goal was creating a permanent customer. Now, there are some valid arguments out there that vaping is better for you than smoking. Okay? We have like 60, 70 years of very good data on smoking cigarettes. We absolutely do not have 60 or 70 years of data on vaping. We do have a lot of data, though, on nicotine, and especially on underage use. And that's what this is really focused on. A few years ago, this really started becoming an issue, and it's become really quite bipartisan. Melania Trump actually deserves some credit. She got very angry as she found out the amount of vaping that was happening in her son's school, and really raised with President Trump. And President Trump really came out and kind of was pushing the issue until COVID hit hard. And Senator Mitt Romney, if you look in that packet, has also really been pushing this hard. He estimates, and there's hard data I appreciate, but at least half of the flavored vaping devices being sold in Utah right now are being used by children under the age of 21. Juul got wind of this, and they're very politically savvy. They pulled all their flavored vaping products off the market. And so it's other companies that are selling that. Juul is aiming to become the only FDA-approved vaping device, and we should probably find that out next week. So about 2 years ago, about 50 California school districts realized the cost that vaping was imposing. And furthermore, it's not really rocket science. Going after kids with nicotine, there's a lot of court precedent out there. So these 50 school districts brought a case against Juul, saying, you've imposed substantial costs on us. You create a public nuisance. There's a lot of precedent out there at the opioid litigation. A lot of counties and cities have sued on that on a very similar theory. So that went before the judge in October 2020. Our friends at Juul and Philip Morris spent probably about at least $30 million to get the case dismissed. They brought a full army to get it dismissed. They were very concerned about where this could go. The judge in the Federal District Court of California came back forcefully and said, no, absolutely, there is enough here to go to trial. Case goes forward. And furthermore, you're not going to drag this out forever. Case is scheduled for March 2022. So proceeding along, then the school district said, oh, wow, okay, we got to this threshold. We're going to go for the next level, which is a RICO claim, which means they penetrate the corporate veil. They hold the owners, including Philip Morris, and the board members personally liable for criminal behavior, and they triple the damages. So you can imagine Juul and Philip Morris really didn't like this. They spent another enormous amount of money to prevail. In April, that went before the judge. And the judge came back forcefully and said, RICO claim added. Appreciate this added a little bit of time, so we'll stretch out trial to March 2022. You get one more month. So this is scheduled to go to trial in March 2022. That's a little bit of the urgency. So we basically think we have until Christmas, maybe partially into the new year, to add up school districts. Jewel, more than anything, is looking for closure. They really want, now that they are owned mostly by Philip Morris, Philip Morris is very canny. They basically say, what are the rules? We operate 100% within the rules. They'll push those rules sometimes to make them do it. And that's why Philip Morris tried very hard to create a vaping device and couldn't. They're not a very innovative company. They're basically run by attorneys. That's how they even describe themselves. And so that's why they bought Juul. And so they are pushing now to become the default vaping device in the United States. And it'll be very interesting to see in the next week what the FDA does with the approval of Juul. I believe they will. They'll likely approve them. And they'll become the default vaping device in the United States. So Juul is really wanting to clean up all their past in Philip Morris. They want to move forward. In June of this year, the North Carolina Attorney General brought a much tamer lawsuit than what we're bringing, asking for much less. And Juul settled for $40 million about a day or two into the trial with them on that. And they basically, because they want to move forward on this. Our claims are more aggressive and I think a lot stronger. We have about 500 school districts that have joined. I think by the end of this week, we could have 10 school districts that have joined here in Utah, and about 15 others have it on their agenda to join. You'd appreciate we have 41 school districts in Utah. It's been hard to get their attention because everybody's so stressed right now with COVID and the resurgence and some other things. But every school district is considered and has decided, especially if they put on their agenda, to move forward and join. The primary question I get is, it sounds really good. Okay, what's the catch? What's the cost? What's the problem? If you join the lawsuit, you have to approve two engagement letters, myself and the law firm in California. And then your staff will take about 4 or 5 hours to fill out a questionnaire. We've had a lot of school districts fill it out. The range has been somewhere between 2 and 5 hours. We've never had someone say it took more than 5 hours to fill out. You don't have to create new data. You simply have to fill in what you have, what information you have about vaping in your district. And then we file and you add it to the lawsuit. There won't be any depositions. There won't be any discovery on the school districts. There are bellwether districts. They've already been chosen. Those are the 5 or 6 districts that are doing that. Given that you will be no more than number 500, the trial would have to go for about 20 years before it would move down to you. We negotiated this with a combination of the current engagement letter with Davis, Weber, Nebo, Canyons, and Granite School District. They all kind of came together and said, we're very interested. We want these provisions. Thought about it and said, you know, those provisions all make sense. So one of the key provisions is if you guys are ever unhappy with the course of the lawsuit for any reason, you can drop out of the lawsuit and you don't owe us anything. If you rejoin the lawsuit, yeah, then you'd have to pay us something. But if you're unhappy at any point with us, the lawsuit, or anything, you can drop out and have no obligation. So the other thing is we are paid entirely on contingency fee. My firm and others have looked at this and said, this is meritorious. I personally looked at it and said, I'm willing to forego, you know, 6 months of salary because I really believe in this. This is something that matters to me. And so if we win, we take 20% of any award or settlement that would come. If we don't win, we don't get anything, there's zero. And I won't hide it. I think there's a chance that we could get zero. Juul should not be underestimated. They've hired 3 of the biggest and best law firms in the United States, and they are aggressive. But they also are very self-interested and are playing the long game. And they believe if they can get through the past sins, they can do very well. So I have talked a lot. You guys have paid really good attention.
Well, right. My experience with RICO, though, is that there's an attorney fee provision in it. So if we bring, which we have, the RICO action and lose, don't you pay their fees?
That's absolutely a legitimate claim, first off, absolutely. It probably only if it was frivolous. Given the judge already heard that specific RICO claim, we don't think there is really a material chance at all.
Okay.
But if that's a concern of yours, we'll put in your engagement letter to indemnify you, you know, for that. We'll find
I
that.
Think if we were to do that, we would want that. I've had some experience with RICO.
That's fine.
So, I understand why these districts are doing it. I mean, basically, it's like this is bad for our students. The cash is kind of irrelevant to me. Do you know what I mean? To me, it's more about protecting the students. So, how much of that can you speak a little bit about that? I mean, because joining it as a district, I could care less about getting some settlement. I'm more concerned about protecting the students and sending a message more than anything. But maybe
except that the cash can help us.
Yes.
No, I get that. If we win, like, I'm not going to not take the cash.
But we could use
but
it
my
for
priority,
this purpose.
My priority is protecting students and saying this is not something that we advocate and we are on board to prevent this kind of thing happening for our students. But I don't know, are districts looking to just cash in? I mean, I don't know. Maybe comment a little bit on that.
What we found, I spent, just before I stepped into your meeting, I talked to Pat Wilson, the business manager at Graham County School District, which has about 1,300 kids. A lot of similar growth issues, though, to you. They can't find housing for their teachers either. But he told me they've spent $40,000 to outfit their two main schools with vape detectors over the last 3 or 4 years. He says what that's happened is it's amazing. They were shocked at how many people they caught vaping in their classrooms and even in the bathrooms. Now with those vape detectors, what the teachers and principals are telling them is they're seeing far less vaping on campus. Basically, they are said, our campus is no nicotine. Nicotine is not tolerated. It is not allowed. And by having that, you're able to catch especially the kind of repeat offenders and counsel them. Typically, they put them on some kind of probation. They have to come into counseling. You follow up with them. This all costs resources. A good vape detector costs anywhere between $2,000 and $5,000, depending on how it's installed and how it's maintained. Once you have that, you can create, that. But then also you need administrative and staff time to follow up with the kid. Some schools are doing, sort of like Alcoholics Anonymous groups where like 5 or 10 kids will meet on a regular basis to really talk about that. Sometimes even home visits to talk to parents and give them the knowledge they need. Also, some school districts have been really innovative. They've hired or are getting classes where they figure out ways for students to create an anti-vaping campaign. And the students, then create ads for the internet, for things around the school, and kind of information sheets say, hey, what do you do when you see your buddy vaping? And they play out role scenarios and make videos and stuff like that. Because, it's helpful for parents to talk. It's really helpful for peers to talk to. Everybody knows about cigarettes. I saw some really interesting data on cigarette smoking. The average cigarette smoker thinks it takes 15 years off their life. It actually only takes 10. So the messaging has been good on cigarettes. But kids are about 5 to 10 times more likely to be vaping than smoking right now. And that messaging has fallen way behind. Jewel and Philip Morris are way ahead. So we need to get messaging out there and education and awareness. We need to make it not cool. A lot of kids view vaping with a Jewel as something similar to like a Tesla or an Apple device. It's something kind of sexy and new age and not really that bad for you. That's just not the case. So those are some of the resources you can do. Now, here's the kind of exciting thing. If you appreciate some of your grants, you get them, and they're like, this grant wasn't worth it, Jewel and the judge are not going to put, draconian restrictions. We actually expect no restrictions on it. You can use it to shore up your retirement fund or repay parking lots. We hope you'd use it, for vaping prevention. But that allows a much more organic approach where you'll get to decide. With the tobacco settlement, it went through the Utah State Legislature. We all love them to bits. But they took their huge portion. They put a number of restrictions on it. And so the school districts and other community groups saw a lot less. So with this, 80% would come directly to you, possibly over a 5 to 10 year period, even though we'll push for a more condensed period. And you would get to choose what to do with it.
If I can, we've had requests from most of our intermediate schools are trying to install vaping detectors and trying to come up with funding to pay for it. Some of our middle schools are doing the exact same thing.
We've got one school that has vape detectors.
Everybody's asking.
Everybody wants them, but it's spendy. It's about $10,000. But he's correct that the previous lawsuit with the tobacco company went to the state. This comes directly to the district, so it's big, and it would help significantly with technology.
No, don't get me wrong. I mean, the money is important if we win.
I'm just saying.
To me, it's more about education as much as.
But I'm just saying this vaping is an expense to the school district.
Right.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is it's not like, hey, this hasn't affected us, let's go try and get something out of it. This is something where we actually do have a cost, and it's a problem, and vaping is becoming a bigger, bigger problem in our schools.
Yeah, they're requesting them all the time.
And we approached Sean Reyes and asked him and his Utah Attorney General to join us on the lawsuit. And his number one deputy emailed me back and said, you know, carry on, Joel. It's a great effort. We just don't have the resources to help you. So then I went to the Utah School Board Association and talked to Richard Stoll. And he said, I might have a bit more influence with Sean Reyes than you do. And if you know Richard Stoll, you know he has more influence with everyone. Just about anyone. And so he went and approached and got a meeting with Sean Reyes directly. And Sean Reyes repeated, he's like, between the opioid litigation and other things, we don't have the resources. This is a worthy cause. You know, we wish you the best. But we have a provision in there. If he chooses to get involved at some point, take it over. You guys can drop out and get the doors and nothing.
Over the last week, this is less than a week. This is one of the BAs asked, "Hey, we've been approached. What are you guys all doing?" And right now, we've got Murray is talking about it. They haven't made a decision yet. Jordan has signed on. Park City says they don't need the money. I'm joking.
But they don't.
They said that they've declined due to avoid too many lawsuits to deal with at this time on these big social issues.
Who's this?
Our friend Todd actually told me, Joel, just approach the board.
So Twilla has signed on. Severe has signed on. Alpine has elected is declining at this time. That's their wording. Salt Lake has signed on.
What would be a reason
Provo
to
has
decline?
Signed on.
Why would we decline? Why have others declined?
I need to talk to them. They're overwhelmed, and it's also it's kind of like they want to see someone else jump in the water.
I know.
And
I
swim and see if it works.
We risk nothing.
As I can tell, you're not asking us to provide thousands of dollars up front, nor any man hours.
With the RICO claim, there's a risk.
Yeah,
and that might be why. That might be why. But we're smarter than that.
Take it to their board. Yeah,
let's keep it focused for a minute.
Canyons has signed on. Davis has not made a decision yet. Cash has not made a decision yet. Sal Sam Pete has signed on. Uinta is talking to their board about it. They have not. In fact, you're meeting with them tomorrow.
Yes.
And
Iron's going to put it on their agenda at the end of the session. They've talked to them an hour ago.
So Joel
Nebo has signed on. So that's where we're at to this point. So most of the larger districts are, well, it's about half and half have signed
that
on.
That are either
holding on.
I mean, to me, I kind of feel the same way Dave does. We're going to do this. We do it for use of funds. We do receive them for the education of our kids. Get less kids vaping. It's a terrible situation. I don't like it. And I know it's happening in a lot of our schools because I've had kids at the ground level telling me the stories of it. So I'd love to see us. I would love to hold them accountable for it. The only way you hold people accountable is hold accountable in the pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm. I think we should join. I can't see a reason not to.
Do we have to make a decision today, or can the board?
It's on our action list.
It's on our action.
And we do have to make a decision today.
I think if we do, we set the example for others.
Right.
The only concern I have is the possibility of the RICO claim, and there's a very good chance that's why Alpine declined.
Well, and he said that can be part of our prison.
No, I know. So if we get that in our letter of retention, I'm good with it.
I think we should
under those conditions. I think
it is on the
action items
for later.
I understand, but I just kind of as we're moving forward to kind of have a consensus of what we're doing. We can't vote in here, but get a sense of the board.
I think we've seen it in younger and younger students, which is heartbreaking to me to see it down in our intermediates, even to elementary age kids, which is just devastating that, like Joel mentioned, how they start so young and then those repercussions or consequences for life continue with them. And so I feel like it is a worthy cause for us to fight and to continue to help protect our kids, like Dave mentioned, help educate them, help protect them, help stop what Jewel has been doing with the flavors. I mean, I know that's been pulled right now, but I just feel like our kids deserve that we stand up to that.
I will say too that in my area, the middle school, it's probably one of the biggest problems the administration deals with. I mean, from what I understand, it's like daily almost.
Yeah.
And that's like 13 to 14 year olds. It's just awful.
So if we take this and find anything we can, whether it's deterrence, education, whatever we need to speak, I mean, and if it's costing the district in health care costs, maybe some of that needs to be worked into that area. There's just a lot of places where those funds could be used for the betterment of not only our student population, for employees. And
there are other entities that are selling these things too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
not
yeah.
just Jewel. But if we
but
do
it puts the message
Jewel,
out there.
Then it puts the message out. Yeah.
So I am in agreement with everybody. I just pulled up John Hopkins as we're sitting here, and that's me. I'm just, you know, it says right here that it can be worse because you can buy extra strength cartridges mm-hmm. that have higher concentration of nicotine. So it's not just a cigarette anymore. It's an extra strength nicotine. And to me, it's terrible for the children. So I'm on board. I don't see that we have nothing to lose under these circumstances. So,
Can I ask one more question? So we've been approached both by you and by Wagstaff Carmel Law Firm out of Kansas City, Missouri. Can you explain the difference between you and what they're doing? Explain that to the board.
Yeah. This is America, and so other groups can absolutely add a lawsuit. We kind of started it, initiated it. We have about 70-80% of the school district so far, and that gives us a lot more leverage. Jewel could come and offer a settlement to our group and not offer a settlement to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the opposite is probably almost very unlikely. We have the resources to take it to trial. And thus, Jewel is afraid of that. The other group has far fewer resources. That's why, in their engagement letter, they have told Kangen School District, at least, and I believe all the others, that if this they don't get an award or settlement by next summer, their fee goes up to 35% of the contingency. And their fee right now is 25%, while ours is 20%. We're able to offer that because we have a certain amount of volume, as you can appreciate. They also don't have a Utah-admitted attorney in their group, and I think that makes it a lot harder. If you withdraw from them, you have to go to arbitration, and they have a claim on you for fees. I mean, I've served on the state school board. I work for the largest law firm here in Utah. We have a big office right here in St. George. You're going to be able to find us, and our name is on this. My name's on this. We want to do something that is very meaningful for the school districts.
This when you say 90%, you mean 90% in Utah or 90% nationwide?
90%
of the...
Of the school districts?
Yeah.
We have somewhere, it's always fluctuating, somewhere between 70 and 90% of school districts have signed up with our group.
Nationwide?
Nationwide. And Utah, so far, it's been all. Kangen School District Attorney just did a really interesting memo, kind of analyzing the other law firms. I can send that to you. It's a public document.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Joel?
Is a RICO claim based on the addictive nature of it,
Using selling nicotine to underage kids has always been illegal. Even like nicotine gum is very illegal. And Jewel, as we've done discovering other internal documents, they were advertising on Nickelodeon. They were doing school presentations that were kind of anti-cigarettes, but were very pro-vaping.
where people actually even saying that vaping doesn't cause harm. Mm-hmm. They created the flavors based on marketing preferences of children. They were selling out on the internet frequently without doing any ID verification. So they were breaking through all the precedents that Big Tobacco and Philip Morris have been complying with for years, and they were selling those nicotine products. So that's why, to some extent, it was kind of a layup, you know, to bring this lawsuit. It wasn't that hard.
And while RICO, it was originally established to take care of organized crime.
Yeah.
And what it does is it puts everything under an umbrella, and there are civil aspects to RICO when certain things are done. So that's why they've included that. It's a civil thing where, yeah, they violated some laws. We're not tagging them for violating the laws, but what we are doing is we're asking for civil damages, and yet we can apply the same interconnections, and the law allows you to do that with RICO. But the downside to RICO, as I was mentioning, is, you know, if you successfully prosecute RICO, you do get your triple damages, you do get your attorney's fees, and that's a big stick to hold over their head. But if you lose, on the converse side, under Utah law, if there's an attorney fee provision and you lose, then you can pay their fees. Now, maybe the judge would award it, maybe he wouldn't, but that's a chance. But if we get that in our engagement letter, then I think we're going to be fine.
Terry, if you're all right, when I'm done, I'll get on my computer and draft that provision.
Sure.
And run it by you.
Well, sure. I'll look at it, but we also have our own.
Yeah,
we have to
just pass it subject to the consent of your counsel on that.
Yeah. My advice is free, so it's worth about that.
You have one vote. He does have one vote.
So we get what we pay for.
That's right. Exactly. I've told you that for years, Dave.
What is RICO?
Racketeering. I can't remember what it stands for.
It
was originally for organized crime. That's how they got John Gotti way back in the 80s, and they've applied it.
Okay.
I have
those
some personal experience with that.
Those are matters that
racketeering, influenced, and corrupt organization.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Not too.
I'll tell you my war story afterwards.
Got it.
All right. So is that you're just here in Venjo right now just to give us the information,
yep.
Right? So when we take our action later on in our open meeting,
yeah.
Then that.
So I'll prepare that now and I'll send that over to Brent.
You'll be sorry if you get started
right.
on this.
And I'm happy to call in, or I'm happy to stay.
Well, I think what we'll do is we present it and we agree to do it subject to legal review of the engagement documents, how we would do that. That's what I would suggest. But yeah.
It should come up fairly quickly in the agenda, so I don't think we need to be late. We will be 4:30. I'm probably thinking more like 5.
When we get to that,
we got it.
Well, we have the we have what's going right with the school.
Yeah,
5 o'clock.
It's
about 5 o'clock. So I'm thinking we'll probably be going on.
But do you really think he needs to stay?
Yeah.
No.
We can move it up to the very beginning.
Well, I'm just saying, we can let you know, too, right?
I can give you a call.
Yeah.
I think you should move it up to the beginning.
What's that?
I think you should move it
up
to the beginning.
Well, do you want to stay? Is that your...
If he wants to stay.
Whatever you guys want me to do.
I don't think he needs to stay.
You're not going
to
stay until 5 o'clock. I mean,
no.
You might come back.
Yeah.
So whether you come back at 4:30 or whether you come back at 5 is immaterial, probably. So you're staying down here tonight or
he's
heading back home?
Yeah.
He's heading back to Salt Lake.
Yeah,
he doesn't
that's what I'm
to
saying. He's driving back
I'd just
home.
Say,
he's
go home.
Home.
Go home.
Go home.
Go
home.
Go home. We're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. You guys are a big deal. Thank you.
We are.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming in and giving us the information. We'll go to another meeting.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you again. Joel and I were on the USBA board at the same time, so that's been a number of years ago.
Yeah.
All right. So let's back here. Probably ought to go into closed session first. So I'll entertain a motion that we go into closed session.
Second.
Okay, Terry's made the motion. Who seconded it?
Dave.
Me.
Dave seconded it. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, we're going into.